Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
You're listening to a repeat broadcast of Soundcheck. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and now we go from a journey through Americana to a journey through American classical music. At least that's how pianist and composer Ahmad Jamal refers to jazz, a genre that he has explored for 60 years. Jamal's music contrasts simple and complex, sound and silence, and the influence can be clearly heard on the Miles Davis album Miles Ahead. But Jamal was also one of the few jazz artists to score a top 10 hit with an instrumental, Poinciana, in 1958. And these days, Ahmad Jamal is being sampled by rappers like Jay-Z and Nas. And this year, when he turned 78 years old, he released a new album called It's Magic. Ahmad Jamal joins us today. Welcome to Soundcheck.
My pleasure.
Amanda Petrosich was just here talking about going south, looking for the roots of Americana. Where would you go if you were journeying in search of the roots of this American classical music, the form we call jazz?
I'd go to myself.
I think I would. I mean, at this point, you represent a generation that is kind of vanishing. I mean, you know, some of your contemporaries are no longer with us, but, I mean, stylistically things have changed. You have changed over the years, but you've continued to kind of have this specific, I don't know, scheme of, you know, light and dark in your music. How have you been able to maintain that?
We can go a bit longer than a football player.
Your career can last a little longer than the average gymnast,
As long as we maintain fairly decent, good health, we can go a little longer.
Right.
And I happen to have embraced a few years.
But it's not just, you know, I like the kind of athletic analogy, because playing the piano, especially as you do, is a very kind of physical thing. Is that part of what keeps
physical
you going?
Physical and mental. It's a combination of both, like most things are.
You've referred to jazz as American classical music. Now, you know, there is a classical music, and there are American composers who write in a classical music form. What makes jazz for you the American classical music?
Well, I think we have two forms, and I've studied a little bit of both. The European body of work, which is called European classical music, and the American body of work, which I call American classical music, rightly so in my opinion, because it embraces many, many areas of expertise. Mm-hmm. In order to be Dave Brubeck or Oscar Peterson or Jamal or McCoy Tyner, you have to know the best of both worlds. We have to know Mozart. We have to know Art Tatum. We have to know Jimmy Lunceford. We have to know John Coltrane. We have to know Mozart. We have to know Franz Liszt. As I studied Liszt when I was 10 years old and played the Eroica Etude, which is fairly difficult in competition when I was 10. But I also studied Art Tatum. So Duke Ellington never called himself a jazz musician. He called himself American classicist. I'm not paranoid about the word jazz, but we have to define it, in my opinion, define it properly if we're the practitioners.
Well, you mentioned Dave Brubeck. Of course, you know, he's a guy who writes string quartets and choral works, you know, in that other classical tradition as well. And then you have people like Leonard Bernstein, who clearly drew on jazz in some of his classical music. So I guess, you know, we're sort of setting this up as if it's either one thing or another, but as is so often the case with music, you know.
Well, there are only two art forms that develop, in my opinion, here in America. American Indian art, which still isn't promoted properly.
You mean Native American? Yeah,
absolutely.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And this thing we call jazz, which still isn't promoted properly. You don't see Duke Ellington every day, John, on the tubes. You should. You don't see Brubeck. You don't see me on the tubes every day. You see forms that have nothing to do with music. And this is a great cultural contribution to the world.
Yeah.
You have 6,000 kids coming or more coming from all over the world to institutions like Berkeley studying American classical music. So it speaks of something. It speaks of a great cultural contribution. And I think the word jazz limits what this music is about.
My guest is the pianist and composer Ahmad Jamal. I started by asking you, where would you go looking for the roots of jazz? And you said to me, in the 1950s, you were part of a generation of jazz where you were part of the popular culture. It wasn't some esoteric thing that was, you know, that had like, you know, a center for, you know, there wasn't a jazz orchestra at Lincoln Center keeping that alive. It was part of pop music. It was, you know, it was as popular then as hip-hop is now. So what changed over the years? Why did jazz sort of lose its place on the cultural table, so to speak?
To me, it hasn't lost its place. I think that's
not
correct.
Well, but, you know, you're talking about an art form that gets 3% of albums.
It has always been under-promoted. And this is what we're talking about. We're talking about a great cultural shock that we're headed for if we don't change our priorities. And our kids should know about I'm going to extend the answer to your question when I said myself, but it's an extension to that. You have to go to Jimmy Lunceford, you have to go to Louis Armstrong, you have to go to the Sidney Bechets, who left his country because of the lack of interest in what he was doing. Now he became a national treasury, a treasure rather, in France.
In France, yeah.
And here we go.
Well, that's been the sort of trajectory for many jazz musicians, hasn't it? You cross the Atlantic, you make your name in Denmark or France.
Absolutely.
Or the Netherlands.
Mean, the young people are historians over there when it comes to this music. Mm-hmm. We're not historians over here. We're promoting forms. They have nothing to do with music whatsoever. They have only forms, and what we're headed for. You know, music is supposed to soothe the savage beast. We're raising the savage beast. Agree or not?
Well, now let me ask you something about that, because, you know, in a funny way, couldn't hip-hop be a very good thing for jazz? I mean, you know, we're looking at rappers like Common and Nas and De La Soul and Jay-Z who've all sampled your music, and, you know, kids who are interested in their favorite rappers are finding their way to your music through that.
My statement to that, John, and I would like for you to help me collect some of the money that is owed to me.
Ooh.
By way of these so, these samplings. I spoke to my lawyer today about that.
Really?
Very interesting, because Legend has been sampling a lot
John,
of my
John stuff. Legend, yeah.
Absolutely. And he's fairly big.
Right.
Well, all these
guys are big.
But the thing I always say, there's good and bad in everything. There's good hip-hop, there's bad hip-hop, there's good opera, there's bad opera.
Mm-hmm.
There's good ballet, there's bad ballet. There are only two things that exist in music. It's either good or bad. Some of these classifications are very misleading.
All right, so let's take, I want to get to your new record in a moment, but as long as we're here, let me play for you a little bit of the rapper Nas, who's sampling your song, I Love Music. Is this good hip-hop or bad hip-hop?
The world is yours, the world is yours.
It's mine, it's mine, it's mine, whose world is this?
It's yours,
it's mine, it's mine, it's mine, whose world is this?
The world is yours,
it's mine, it's mine, it's mine.
I sip the dumb peak, watching Gandhi till I'm charged and writing in my book of rhymes all the words past the margin. The whole of mic I'm throbbing, mechanical movement, understandable smooth issue that murderers move with. The thief's theme, the thief's play theme. Me at night, they won't act right. The fiend of hip hop has got me stuck like a airpipe. The mind activation, react like.
All right, that is Nas. World is Yours is the name of the song, but underneath Nas you can hear a sample of my guest Ahmad Jamal playing the piano, the piece I Love Music. So, what, you know, first of all, did you get paid for that sample?
He made a great choice. I Love Music was written by a great writer, Emil Boyd, who's, I don't think he's no longer with us. So he certainly made a good choice. Mm-hmm. I Love Music is a great composition.
But you didn't answer my question.
No comment.
No comment. Okay. And you've clearly enjoyed Swahili Land over the years because you've recorded it a couple of times, including on the previous record. Why come back to it again so quickly?
Well, how many times do they perform Mozart? How many times do they repeat Maurice Ravel, so many recordings of the same selection, because it gets better and better. That's why.
Let's hear the latest recording by Ahmad Jamal of his piece Swahili Land. That is Ahmad Jamal, Swahili Land, the latest recording of this tune from him. It's on the latest album called It's Magic with his quartet. Now, Ahmad, the new album has six originals, several of which you've recorded before, but a couple of new ones. And then there are also three standards as well. What is there something that connects all of these pieces for you?
Yes, my wealth of repertoire over the years, that's what connects it. I've been performing since I was 3 years old, so I have a large body of work that I draw from.
Yeah, that's a few years.
And this
over the course
happens.
Of 75 years, you tend to amass a few songs.
And I sometimes come up with songs written way before I was born, but so was the Roque Etude. So these things are still, as I said before, it goes back to, there's only two types of music, good and bad. And when it's good, they keep coming back. So this is what you hear. You hear The Way You Look Tonight on there. It's Magic, which was a big hit for Doris Day, was it not? I think Doris Day was the one hit. And I have another.
It's a Julie Stein song.
Yeah, and writers, if they're good, I play them.
So the three covers, the standards that are on there, all have a film connection. Was that just a coincidence?
Oh, did I do that?
Yeah.
Thanks very much. I didn't make that connection at all.
So you're not particularly a movie buff or anything like that? That's not what was behind this?
I don't go to movies too often.
Okay. Yeah. Why don't we hear It's Magic? This is the title track. And it's as I mentioned before, it's a Julie Stein, Sammy Kahn song. As you said, a hit for Doris Day, right?
Yes.
It's Magic, Ahmad Jamal and his quartet. Song is It's Magic, and that is the title track from the new album by Ahmad Jamal, the pianist whose quartet you're hearing. Ahmad Jamal, my guest on Soundcheck today. This was a hit for Doris Day around 1958, which was a big year for you as well, because that was the year of your hit album, which was the first jazz record to sell 1 million copies.
108 weeks.
108 weeks on the Billboard charts.
And it still goes on and on.
Have you, I mean, we talked about how you've kind of revisited some of your great songs over the years. Have you revisited Poinciana, the big hit from 19?
Many times. And doing every performance as well. Mm-hmm. This is the 50th anniversary, uniquely enough.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Am I correct? Am I math correct?
Yeah. So
sometimes I get it right.
So we can look forward to hearing a little Poinciana at Jazz at Lincoln Center next week, perhaps.
I think so. I think there would be some very disappointed people if I didn't do it. And I would be the first one that would be disappointed because I love doing it.
Who wrote this song?
Bernier and Simon. Bernier, like Fournier, my former drummer. Bernier and Simon, I believe. And they laughed all the way to the bank.
Oh, and, you know, for the last 50 years, the tune has been associated not with them, but with my guest, Ahmad Jamal. Poinciana was a huge hit for my guest Ahmad Jamal, who still plays the song 50 years later. You mentioned the album called But Not For Me spent over 2 years on the Billboard charts. What you didn't say is you weren't talking about jazz charts. You were talking about the pop charts.
Yeah, must-stock inventory became must-stock inventory.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was labeled as in Billboard magazine, which is a wonderful thing because there are very few of us instrumentalists that get that kind of opportunity. Herbie Hancock, myself, a few others, Miles, and Dave Brubeck, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But it's limited. Now, the singers get the hit, not us.
Now, Miles was a huge fan of yours. And, you know, there were efforts made to try and get the two of you guys to work together. He would tell his pianist, "I want you to sound like Ahmad." But it never actually happened. Why not?
No, we were too busy as individual leaders. Yeah. A little ego. No, I'm not. I'm just kidding.
Well, it wouldn't be the first time, but, I mean, you both were big figures on the scene, and would a collaboration have meant someone playing for someone else? Was that kind of the problem?
Well, actually, it was an attempt to get Cannonball and myself.
Cannonball Adderley.
Yes, the three of us, but it was too complicated. Yeah, too difficult.
Talk about arena rock. That would have filled a few stadiums back in the day. So you mentioned before how a lot of the great jazz musicians throughout our history have had to leave the country to go abroad to get, you know, the kind of recognition that they deserve. And then sometimes they come back and sometimes they stay abroad. You recently got the Officer of the Order of Arts and Letters. I'm not going to even attempt to say the original French, from the government of France.
That's correct.
And you received the French equivalent of a Grammy. So what are they picking up on there that we're missing here in the States?
Well, you know, they are very sensitive to this art form. That's what it is, sensitivity. And it's wonderful because it's the historic appreciation of this music I mentioned before. They follow this music historically as opposed to us taking it for granted, John.
Mm.
And, you know, a artist is a stranger in his home, own hometown.
Like that's a prophet. A prophet always...
Well, you said it. I wouldn't say it, but you said it.
But that's the old biblical saying, you know, prophet right. in his own homeland.
So that's what happens. And, you know, absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Mm-hmm.
So when you leave here, now some of us left here and never came back. Johnny Griffin, who just passed, he became an expatriate. He never came back. One of the great drummers of all time, Kenny Clarke, who was from my hometown, and possibly was the person who was responsible for the organization of the Modern Jazz Quartet. I don't want to be quoted, but he left Pittsburgh. He went to France, and that was the end of that.
Right.
The rest is history.
So there are some who say that nowadays, if you want to hear, you know, really great jazz and hear the future of jazz, you have to go to Europe. Do you believe that's
you
the
case? You stay in America. So pardon my interruption, my quick answer. You stay in America. If you want to hear the future, the beginning, the past, the present, you stay in America.
Where do you hear the future of jazz? I mean, are there people out there now that you're listening to that make you feel optimistic for this?
I'm mentoring and managing some of them.
Really?
My manager and I, we have a wonderful artist. She's from Japan, Hiromi. She's spectacular. I have another artist, Mina Gosi, who's in French. Her background is Benin. Her mother was born in Benin. Her father was born in France. And I have a man from Caracas, Venezuela.
Mm-hmm.
Great pianist. And a young man from Seoul, Korea. Great orchestrator. Jiwon Kim. I'm involved with all this young talent.
And it's all global. So it's happening
Absolutely.
Here in the States, but it's coming, I mean, to kind of go to your point, you know, the music has gone out there and now is coming back.
I'm feeling the pulse.
Wow. All right, so we're speaking with Ahmad Jamal. His new record is called It's Magic. And, you know, in many ways, you've been ahead of the curve when you converted to Islam as a young man. That was way before Cassius Clay or even, you know, Malcolm X or anything like that. What do you hope as an artist that you can kind of leave people with? You know, what do you want to leave?
I'd like to continue the legacy of my hometown of Pittsburgh, where Billy Eckstein came from, where Earl Wild came from, the exponent of Liszt, where the great Billy Strayhorn came from. He used to sell papers to his family when I was a kid, but he had already gone to Duke Ellington. And he made a lot of Duke's hits, to say the least. Billy Strayhorn wrote Take the A-Train, Lush Life, all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope to leave the legacy that my hometown left me.
Well, we're back to the island with Ahmad Jamal. That's the name of this song. Back to the island from the new album, It's Magic. Ahmad, this has been a lot of fun. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Well, that's going to do it for this edition of the program. Soundcheck's technical director is Irene Trudell. Our program is produced by Brian Wise and Joel Meyer. Our executive producer is Gisele Regatow, and I'm John Schaefer. Be with us next time at this time for Soundcheck here at 93.9 FM WNYC.